something a little bit different. So if you happen to see the diagram up here, we're not going to use that this morning. We're going off on another avenue that we want to endeavor in. And that avenue is that we've heard so much about, oh, the earth is only 4,000 years old. And that is like the thing that has swept America like you would not believe. Everybody's falling in line and following this young earth philosophy. I think, just personally, it's about as big a ripoff of the American people and the stupidity of America, and the pastors who won't study the Bible for themselves have allowed this to go. And they jump on the bandwagon because they don't know what they're talking about. And it's easier just to say, oh, they're right, I'll agree with them. And then they look like the big shots that, you know, that they have followed and so forth, and everybody agrees. The only problem is it's a lie out of hell. So this morning what I'm going to do, as we've passed out to you, and the Institute of Creation Research by Henry Morris, who had a PhD in hydraulic engineering, has become a so-called Bible professor now, and started this sort of thing, but in reality he didn't really start it, he just jumped on the bandwagon. And we find out it was a lady that founded the Seventh-day Adventists that first seems to have come out, they think, with this young earth, and then it mushroomed from there to there. And then we have a Ken Ham from Australia that he took a census of America and thought, this is the dumbest bunch of religious people I ever seen in my life. They got so many religions going on around here that they don't know what they believe. I mean, you can find anything, anywhere, about any time, and join it, and they got anything that'll fit whatever you want it to fit. You can find a church like that. If you don't want to hear the Bible, well, you can hear a little bit about politics, a little thing about Daniel being in the lion's den and so forth, and maybe the flood, everybody was destroyed, and a few other things. He's not going to destroy it by water anymore, but it's going to be by fire the next time and so forth. We don't really understand it, and it could be true, and then there's this thing that some of these crazy people think about. Well, Christ is going to come back and all the Christians are going to disappear. Whoopee! You know, here we go. Way, way, way. And all of these sort of things that are going on. This thing that has crept in with this young earth is one of the most damnable contradictions of the Bible that I've ever seen. Now, you see it all over today, but if you would have lived 30 years ago, when I knew a lot of these great Bible teachers from all over, have met a lot of them, have talked to a lot of them, have had a lot of them in our churches to speak, and so forth, earlier in our ministry and so forth, they would have laughed at these idiots that are going around today and putting this out. So I thought I want to take and I want to show you in advance one thing, just one little pebble of sand, and show you how tricky these lion suckers are that promote this thing with a young earth. Now, this is a book that's put out. It's called Acts and Facts by the Institute of Creation Research. I think they have moved their headquarters to Dallas, Texas now. And this is by the founder Henry Morris and so forth. And I want to read you in their magazine. And I'll hold this up here so those of you that are viewing, you can get a look at this, what it puts out. Now, they put this out every month or every 2 months, something like this. And I'm going to take some quotes out of this and show you. Okay. Maybe the viewers out there can take a look at this magazine here. Okay? Okay. Now, to start out with, I want to give you what their philosophy is. What is the thing that God wants us to do as a Christian? Isn't it to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Shouldn't that be our first? Really, that should be our first motivation. If we can get the opportunity to witness to somebody or something, shouldn't that be what God wants us to do first? That's not what these folks do. Let me read you what they say. Oh, let's see here. I've got the right one here. CICR, that's Institute of Creation Research, is not an evangelistic ministry. I'm quoting from their book now. Evangelism is virtually important, or is vitally important, but is essentially an indirect result of the ICR mission. We are thankful when people are saved through one of our CICRS books or seminars But this is not our main purpose as an organization. Really? And then he goes on to say, education is our main purpose, to educate people. Well, if winning people to Christ is not your main purpose, what are you educating them in? Science? That's exactly what they're doing. So, he puts the pictures of people in here that we all know and must be right, because we got Tim LaHaye and his wife Beverly, and he's with Dr. Morse. I'll hold this up here so you can see it if you want to. So they do everything they can to convince you that they're right, because Tim LaHaye wrote and these books on, you know, the coming of Christ and so forth. So they put these pictures in here to show you that they're all together and they all agree and so forth like that. So I want to read you something. And then, as we go on over here, we had quoted this here. So on your paper here, let's look at this and read it, okay? And then I want you to underline a couple of things, and then we'll go on. In January 2010, the magazine put out by the Institute of Creation Research, page 14, states the following. That's the magazine we just showed you here. The comparison between a recent volcanic eruption and the flood may seem tenuous, that's weak, until one realizes that the flood, while dominantly a hydraulic cataclysm, really, was also triggered and energized by a tectonic convulsion of Earth's surface, really. The first mechanism God used to judge the earth was when all the fountains of the great deep were broken up. Well, if you read on, at the same time it rained, it started raining at the same time these were broken up. What do you think it means, being broken up? We do know that the whole earth for 1656 years until the flood was watered by the mist that came up from the ground. We do know that the earth has water all over under this crust here. It all, it's just, you go anywhere. I look at farmers out here. There's one on the way going up to Marshall, and he has a beautiful home, and he just bought a corner of a field. He's got a beautiful home there. I've been often wanting to stop and just asking my own curiosity, how far down did you have to go get water? All these farmers out here got water, don't they? Don't they have wells and water? That means there's water under the earth, isn't it? I mean, there's got to be water down there if you're going to get water. That amazes me. But anyway, when God broke up the fountains of the earth, well then, he also said that it began to rain, happened at the same time, and it began to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. Noah was in the ark over a year. Now, so much for that. But let's go on, okay? Then he says this. This sent tsunamis and mud flows across the continents, no doubt accompanied by megavolcanic eruptions. This was followed by an upwarping of the ocean bottom, spilling the contents onto the continents. Then came the months-long downpour of rain. No, that wasn't first. They came at the same time. But can you see anything in there where the man lied?
He said months. It didn't rain for months.
Okay. Anything else?
Talks about the volcanic eruptions. Read that in the Bible anywhere.
Okay. Anything else? That's absolutely right. It didn't say anything about any volcanic eruptions or anything else in the Bible, I don't think. I just said it rained and fountains of the deep were opened up and so forth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else that would seem? Well, I'd like for you, if you'll do this, I'd like for you to underline the word continents. And it's in there twice. Sending tsunamis and mud flows across the continents, circle continents there, if you will. No doubt accompanied by mega volcanic eruptions. Now, would you like to also circle no doubt? This is his opinion. There's nothing in Scripture for this at all. That's his opinion. No doubt. Why couldn't you say, we know for sure that there was accompanied by megavolcanic eruptions? You can't say that because the Bible doesn't say that. This is their philosophy they stuck in here for you to believe what they say. No doubt. Well, I have a doubt because it doesn't agree with the Bible. All of this is a bunch of brainwashing. This was followed by an upwarping of the ocean bottom. Really? How do you know that? How do you know it's not moving up the ocean bottom? When it covered a few feet above the mountains of Ararat, how do you know that? That it came from the ocean's bottom and come up there? When you have the flood that covered the entire earth, good night, folks, I'm telling you, the top of the surface and everything else, there's all kinds of things that are going. If you have mountains and so forth, those in the valleys of there is going to stir up a lot of things. How do you take it what's on the bottom of the ocean? Well, that's sort of interesting, isn't it? And then this was followed by an upworking of the ocean bottom, spilling the contents onto the continents. You want to underline continents again. Then came the month-long downpouring of the rain, okay? Now, hang on to that. Show you this. I thought I'd pass them all three out because you need to put a, and I would get a notebook, and you'll see why, just a three-ring notebook, and start putting this in for young earth. And keep that notebook just for the things you're going to learn about what the young earth claims and how phony and false they are. Okay? Now, I would do that if you're interested in it. And here is Ken Ham's Seven Seas of History. If you have it, I'd like for you to look at it. I'll hold this up here if you want. Just zero in on it, Dave. The Seven Seas of History here. We run a copy of this off because this is Ken Ham's philosophy. This is not dispensations at all. This is his idea. I don't know if the man ever went to a Bible college. I don't know if he ever taught a Sunday school class. I don't know if he ever pastored a church. But now he has everything understood about the three C's. First of all, he has creation. Then he has corruption, and that is Adam and Eve. And it's hard to tell, but it looks like he's got a snake wrapped around up here, if you look up there. Sometimes he makes things so blur that you can't reprint them light, but it looks like a snake to me. Doesn't it, you, or something? I don't know. Take your guess. And the next, he's got a catastrophe, that's the flood. And then he's got confusion. What do you think confusion is? That's the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11, right? And then he jumps from Genesis chapter 11 clear to the cross. Hey, what happened to Israel? What happened to God calling Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the whole history of Israel? Left completely out. And then from the cross, we leave out the rapture, the tribulation period, and the 1,000-year reign of Christ, which has to do with the Jews from Abraham, who was a Gentile, the progenitor of the Jewish race. All of this is left out. So he's on pretty good ground because this agrees with Martin Luther. Absolutely. Luther hated the Jews. He hated them with a passion. And in, I believe it's the Book of Concord, but you can read in his writings, because he prolifically wrote. He just didn't write a little paragraph. I mean, he wrote pages after pages after pages. Get these people out of the country. Burn their synagogues down. Confiscate their material. We don't want this trash around here. That's what Luther thought of the Jews. Hitler loved him. So Hitler printed all of his writings to the German people. A lot of German people were very nice people. We got to have an ethnic cleansing. How dirty these Jews are. And he couldn't have done that himself unless he had a preacher give it out. And if a preacher said it, well, then it must be true. And that's exactly what Hitler did. So when you come to these 6 million Jews that were slaughtered, men, women, and children, and thrown in garbage pits like big trenches and so forth like that, sent to the gas chambers, and they thought they were going in for a shower, and then they turned the gas on them and just did away with them like that. Mr. Luther, you had a part of that, brother. because Hitler used your writings to convince the German people that this was right, because they would believe it if a preacher said it. And you said it, brother. You are one of the dirtiest, filthiest haters of God's people on the face of the earth, and I thank God that you're not living today. Truthfully. Because you would try to get anybody, Mr. Luther, in order to withdraw police protection, he did that. Burn down their synagogues, just like the Muslims and so forth. Hate Americans because we don't worship Allah and so forth. And this is what Ken Ham says, Luther is one of my heroes. Now, the conflict comes in when you say, and I thank Kathy for giving me a copy of his doctrinal statement or his statement of faith, and he says concerning Jesus Christ that if you repent and you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have, it is a gift of God, you have eternal life. But why would you say that, Ken Ham, when the man that who is your hero says you're not going to heaven unless you're baptized? This is how phony you are, sir, Mr. Ham. But when you endorse Luther, you endorse a lot of money coming into your institute down there in Kentucky there, because you have fooled these Luthers that you believe like they do, but in your doctrinal statement you don't. You see, you are phonier than a $3 bill. Now, with that in mind, I wanted to go over this so you see this. Where it goes from confusion in Genesis chapter 11 to Christ, we jump clear over all of the history of Israel, all of the things about Israel, where they come from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of the history. Half of the Old Testament, more of that, is about the Jewish people. In fact, from Genesis chapter 12 on, it is all about the Jewish people. And you skip over it all, brother, and you go right to the cross. Do you hate Israel just like Luther did, Mr. Ham? You say he is one of your heroes. Hero of what? Biblical doctrine? He doesn't believe you go to heaven, but just like you said in your statement of faith, that you believe if you repent. Of course, you don't say what it means by repent. Does that mean be sorry for your sin in the English language? Does that mean change your mind in the Greek language? You never identify yourself, sir, at all. But anyway, you say it's a free gift. Well, Luther says, fine, I believe that Jesus Christ died and paid for our sins, but I don't believe that's the end of it. That's not sufficient, because if you don't get baptized, you're not going to be saved. He will not give you salvation by just believing that he died on the cross. Even though in John 19:10 he said, it is finished. But you don't believe that, Luther. It's only finished with you, that you've got this garbage from the Roman Catholic Church, that you've got to be baptized before he'll give you salvation. And you send millions and millions of people right straight into hell, as you're doing with your little pond preachers today, that are standing behind the pulpit, so pious, so righteous, so just lovely, wonderful men, sending people every day right straight into hell by your water baptism for salvation. So, you want to keep this. So you have it in your file, in your notebook, on the young earth and Ken Ham and so forth. Now, here's another, and then we're going to get you writing, okay? Here's another. This is called Israel, My Glory. If you remember, we had a man from Israel by Our Glory. We had him here to speak in the church. Remember that? Then he made the statement or something about, well, one of the two witnesses or the two witnesses were Moses and Elijah. And I said, well, explain to me why. I thought you were going to die once in Hebrews chapter 9. It's pointing on the man for once to die and then the judgment. So they'd have to come back to life again and die again on there, and then he backed off of it. This is the kind of stuff that you get out. But I want to give you what Israel, Our Glory. Not only are they a predestination outfit, they are also a young earth. So I'd like to take you to a couple of places here. It's very interesting because if we go here to page 29, and did you get a shot of this book here? Did you? Okay. On page 29, they say this. They start out, the Bible is the sole authority, and the book of Genesis teaches about creation. And the Bible is the sole authority. Okay, great. That was wonderful. Then he goes on up. God created everything from nothing. Then he gives the Hebrew. He did not take something that already existed. There is no eternal matter and form something else from it as you and I do. God created from nothing. And so forth. Then he goes on down. The universe is much younger than evolutionists claim. Some Bible places Genesis 1:1 at 4004 B.C. because Bishop James Usher from 1581 to 1656 meticulously studied the scriptures and computed the dates. He concluded Genesis 1:1 occurred in 4004 B.C. Genesis, and if you'll notice here, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. No, sir. The only thing that began in 4004 B.C. was when God remodeled the earth and humanity was placed on it. No. If that is the case and everything was created beautiful and so forth, then why does it say in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the heaven and the earth, and the earth became, or we'll just say, was without form and void. So if he created beautiful, how did he turn out to be without form and void? That means being a total chaotic condition. So if everything was created in Genesis chapter 1, he created it horrible. Something had to be existing there before it. Or he didn't do a very good job when he started. He just created a mass of stuff. He didn't, but the Bible tells us in Isaiah 45:18, he created it beautiful, and that was long before. In fact, we'll show you something. I won't get into that because I want to get into this. But when you go back to Isaiah chapter 14, when Satan was on this original creation, he wanted to exalt himself above the stars. Now, all of your younger say that when he created the universe, this is in Genesis chapter 1. There was no. And if everything is put out by them, oh my goodness, if you believe the earth is millions and billions of years old, you're an evolutionist. You big two-faced liar. I'm not an evolutionist. You refuse to believe the Bible. And the earth could be millions of years old, but then you accuse anybody that says that the earth could be millions of years old. They're an evolutionist. And they throw this garbage out. You can suck everybody in. But on this one point, I want to go back to it now, because you'll get out a little bit early today. Okay? Yeah, I'm sure you will. We'll work on that. Now, do you have your other slip here? The one here about Institute for Creation Research, you got some blanks in there? Isn't that great? I'm excited about that, aren't you? Okay, get your pencil out. We're going to do a little writing now. Now, you remember, do you have the word continents underlined? Well, isn't that amazing? The only trouble with their lie is the earth was all together at that time. There weren't any continents until 100 years later, between 100 and 300 years later. So let's go in our Bibles now, okay? Let's go in our Bibles, and let's go here. If you look at number one on your thing, I wrote a little bit in here to give you a hint. The big lie and deception that is exposed by the Word of God is the earth was not divided into continents until 101 plus years later. Now, or more, I should have put it, or more. That's just the start. In Genesis 10:25, we are told, then we jump down here to Genesis 10:25, because we got to find out something. When and what days was the earth divided? Well, Genesis 10:25 tells us, and unto Eber were born two sons, and the name of the one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. So, if it's in his days, we got to find out when Peleg was born. And we got to find out how long he lived. Because in the time, from the time he was born to when he died, is in that period of time that the earth was divided. Not when these idiots here from the Institute of Creation Research say at the time of the flood. It was all one landmass. And we answer the question that many people ask about the flood. Well, how did it get all these animals across all these oceans and everything else and so forth? Well, there's two answers to it. Number one, there wasn't any meat diet, so there was no fear of animals upon man. Everybody was like it would be in the millennial reign. It'd be the same way. The second thing is, there were no oceans to cross anyway. There were some rivers and streams, because if we find out in Genesis chapter 1 there, when God created in the Garden of Eden, there was a Pison, the Gihon, the great river Hiddekel, and the great river Euphrates. So there were rivers. In fact, if you go from the Persian Gulf and you take the river coming up there, it divides into the Euphrates and divides into two rivers. It is in that, what is called the Mesopotamian Valley, that the Garden of Eden existed. But the earth was all together at that time. It wasn't divided until after. So let's find out here. When Peleg was born, we got to find out when he was born, don't we? We got to find out when he died, don't we? Because it was in his days that the earth was divided. So, let's go here in Genesis chapter 10. Wait till I back up here in my Bible here. Genesis here, chapter 10. Here we go. And it says in verse 1. And we're going to get a little information here. Now, these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. Okay? Now, let's go here in our Bibles to chapter 11, verse 10. Chapter 11 in verse 10, all right? Now, chapter 11, verse 10 tells us this. These are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old, and he begot Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. So I'd like for you to put, we have Shem begot Arphaxad, right? You see that? I want you to write after that, 2 years after the flood. Okay? Write 2 years after the flood, and then see your little column over here, put 11:10. Because we're in Genesis, you don't have to write Genesis in there again. Just put 11:10, 11th chapter, 10th verse, okay? Now, we're going right on down the line till we get to Peleg, okay? Number two, let's find out about Arphaxad. Well, if we go to chapter 11 in verse 12, and Arphaxad lived 35 years and begot Selah. So, Arphaxad was 35 years old, right? 35 under 2, and he begot Selah, S-A-L-A-H, and put out here to the right the verse, chapter 11, verse 12, right? You got that? Okay, let's move on. Now, we'll go back over if you missed something. We'll go back over so that you get it. Now, we got to find out about Selah. Well, let's look here in chapter 14. Chapter 11, in verse 14. And Selah lived 30 years and begot Eber. Okay, Selah was 30, put 30 under 35 in your line there. And he begot Eber. And put out here to the right here, chapter 11, verse 14. Got that? Are you following with me? Or am I going too fast? Or well, we'll run it down through again if you didn't get it, okay? Now we got to find out Eber. Eber happens to be the daddy of Peleg. Well, let's look here in verse 16. So we come and Eber lived 430 years and we got Peleg. So let's put 34 years here and he begot Peleg, right? Got that? Eber was 34. He begot Peleg. Now to the right, chapter 11, verse 16, right? Good. So, if you want to add this up right on after 34, if you want to put the total of this down here, we'll see, we got 34, 30, 35, and 2, so we got 99 and 2 is 101, so put total 101 years after the flood that Peleg was born, right? Yeah. Isn't that great? See how interesting this is? Would you have caught this just by reading this when all of this flood came and the continents were overflowed. How could it be overflowed when there wasn't any? You lying suckers. You lie up one side and down the other to promote your false thinking of this young earth bunch of damnable philosophy. And that's what it is. Now, number six down here. Peleg was born 2 years after the flood, and he died at the age of 239 years old. Look in chapter 11, verses 18 and 19, all right? And you can write that out there. Chapter 11, verse 18 and 19. And Peleg lived 30 years and begot Rehu. And Peleg, okay, just remember this, he lived 30 years. Peleg lived after he begot Rehu 209 years plus the 30, which makes 239 years, and he died. Right? Okay. So, this is sort of interesting. Therefore, the earth was not divided into continents until sometime between 101 years and 340 years after the flood. Where do we get 340? Because we had 101 years when he was born. Under 239 years is how long he lived. Comes out to 340 years. And within that time, between 101 years and 340 years after the flood, was the earth divided. From you in creation research telling me that at the time of the flood it poured all this debris all over the continents when there wasn't any continents yet, sir. I think that's pretty slick, don't you? Now this is just one little speck of the sand in the seashore that we're going to extract and start working on here and pulling these things out that they lie to you. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you would have picked that out just by reading your Bible? They know you wouldn't. They know you wouldn't have picked that out. You wouldn't have caught it in any way, shape, or form. Now, maybe there is a minority that would, but very, very few people would ever pick it out because here, we got scientists putting this out. After the flood, it just flows right along and all this debris all over the continent. Who'd have ever thought there wasn't any continents yet till sometime between 101 and 300 and some years after the flood? You lied to us, sir. This is just a drop or a speck of the iceberg that these people do to suck you in to believing in a young earth that never was. This earth was here. In fact, go to Isaiah chapter 14, you'll find out when Satan was on this earth, he wanted to exalt his throne above the stars. Then they come to Genesis 1 and say there wasn't any stars before God created it here, and so forth like that, really. Then why did God create hell for the devil and his angels? And if Adam and Eve were the first to sin, why didn't he create it for Adam and Eve? So when Satan was on this earth before, the stars had already been created. And you'll find in Genesis chapter 1, God never said that he created the stars. He brought them into focus. And then they make another statement in here, and they say that, God created all the animals. Well, just hold your place, if you will, just a second. No, you must quote the Bible, sir. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. Will you do that? Write these little things in. Really? That's very, very interesting. We find out then in verse 21, we find out that on the original creation, at that time, there were no fowls and there were no fish in the water. And God created, means never existed before. That's a Hebrew word bara, B-A-R-A, means never existed before. He created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind and so forth, and every winged fowl, and after his kind, God saw it was good. There were no birds, and there were no whales or large fish in the sea on the original creation when Satan was on it. But now we come on down, was there any animals on there? Yes, there was cattle. because God made a different and used a different Hebrew word, cherith. When he uses made, that's Asha, A-S-A-H, and that means previously existing, but now it's going to be brought back in for use again. Notice, that was the end of the fifth day. Now, in verse 24, God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. These existed on the original creation, and are now being brought back, not reincarnated, but he's going to use them on the creation for mankind also. A different Hebrew word. It's Asha. Not created. Now all of your claims for the earth here, only being 4,000, say God created everything in 6 days. Did he? God didn't say he created the animals here. He says what he did create, so we know what never existed on the original creation. He says what he didn't create, that did arise on there. And if you'll notice something, he says the same thing on the lights up here, because when we said in Isaiah chapter 14, we said over there, I believe it was verse 16 of that, Satan wanted to exalt himself above the stars in heaven. Stars were already there. But then when God took the earth, judged Satan, made them and took away their bodies, whatever kind they were, but they could walk up and down, they could walk, and made them spirit beings, and took away their right to inherit the earth. He judged the earth and made it completely covered with water, withdrew the sun, withdrew the heat, withdrew the stars, withdrew the moon, which controls the oceans and things and so forth that we have. But I'd like for you to notice. In verse 14, and God said, there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for the lights in the firmament of the heavens and to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights. That's Asha. They existed before. Greater lights to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. Made. So, the reason that's italicized, because it's not in the original manuscripts, and the reason was, when you read the Hebrew, this is just an addition on to what he had made when it starts out the verse. And God made the two great, and goes right on down, and also to rule the night, the stars also. They are all included. Why is that? Because when Satan was here, stars had already been made for the original creation. Now, if you'll go back, if he created everything, to Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created, that is, never existed before, the heaven and the earth. And the original is heavens. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What waters? The waters that covered the earth. It was completely covered with water. It was frozen, completely frozen, all over this earth. But now we're going to take away any of the record that God gives, and we're going to apply everything to the flood, so that we do away with the earth being millions of years old, because if you think that, you're an evolutionist. No, you liar, I'm not an evolutionist. You are a God-denying. You are not a believer in the Bible. You're on a kick that was brought over here and thought up by Henry Morse, Ken Ham, creation research scientist, and a few of these other idiots out here finding footprints of humans in dinosaur footprints. All of that's garbage. And you're doing away with the Bible. You really don't believe the Bible, sir. And proof of it is, that's not your first concern about winning people to Christ. Now, evangelism is vitally important, but is essentially an indirect result. In other words, not our mission. And we're thankful, of course, when people are saved through one of our ICR books and seminars, but this is not our main purpose as an organization. Really? Then I don't think you're worth the power to blow you up then, if that's not your main purpose, sir. In other words, you just people happen to get saved after you get out your pamphlets and your books on evolution, but it's not really your main purpose. And then he goes on to say education is our main purpose. The only reason I want to do this, now you're going to get down all the time. I am so proud of myself. Do you have any questions on your timeline here from this? And I thought this would be a nice little study for you to have. It's not complicated at all. It's there. Do you have any questions at all that you'd like to ask? Do you understand it? Good. That's great. Then you understand something to refute the lies that are being told in these magazines. And I want you to know that. Because if you don't know it, you're going to be sucked in. And if you come to this church, I don't want you sucked in. I want you to happen sharpen your mind up biblically so you can refute these that are against the Bible, refute the Bible, and try to turn the Bible inside out with their fancy talk and their philosophical explanations. And you might write this here as a rebuke that God gave. First of all, Timothy said, he calls them, there are people that use science falsely, so-called. They call it science, but it isn't. They use science and an education to convince you that whatever they say is right. And that's a big bunch of bunk, you know. So, do you have any questions at all? Okay. Well, in closing, if you're watching or listening on these, I'd like to point out how simple it is for you to go to heaven when you die. The billfold is sin. I'm the sinner, as we all are. All humanity is sin. When Christ came, he said, I didn't come to condemn the world. It was already condemned because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the glory of God is absolutely perfection and righteousness. No human being measures up to be as God is God. Nobody does. We all fall short of that. But God loved humanity. He didn't want to waste it. He didn't want it to go down the drain and go to hell and be with Satan, who hell was created for, the devil and his angels. So he said, I'll tell you what, I'll buy back and I will come down to the earth. I will take on human flesh without the old nature, and I will go to that cross and I will pay the sins of every human being ever born in this world. And I'll be glad to do it. Christ, unless he gave up the spirit, they could have punched 100 holes in his body and he wouldn't have died. You cannot kill the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave up, when you read the Gospels, he gave up the spirit. They could have put 10 holes in his hands and 10 in his feet and punched his side at anything else and blood run everywhere. He'd still be alive. You see? But anyway, he went to that cross, and he paid for the sins of the world, and he put it in the Bible, so churches can't add to it without being exposed for their lies and things that they try to do. So, he said, I love the world, gave my only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, came from heaven, came to this earth, died on the cross, put it in the Bible, and God said that if you will believe that he did that for you, I'll make you two promises. Number one, Max Shelms, you will never go to hell for your sins because Jesus Christ paid the hell of the cross in order to get you and give you the right to live with him in heaven. Nobody ever loved you like the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two is, this hand would represent Christ. In order for you to go to heaven, he had to take your sin and mark it paid. He had to pay for it himself so you wouldn't have to go to hell and do it yourself. And then he said, I'll give you the righteousness. I'll give it to you because you could never attain it yourself. And then when you leave this earth, you leave this old nature too. So therefore, when it comes time and I've given you the right to judge the angels and so forth, you will judge them perfectly as I do because you will not be influenced if you have a relative or a mother or a father or a brother or a sister. You will not have the nature of being biologically connected when you were down on earth, and you will judge them exactly as I judge them, as a hater of God, and they deserve hell. Depart from me into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You will not have sorrow anymore for them, because you won't have the old nature. Therefore, in order to influence you, you will judge them absolutely righteous. Wonderful, isn't it? If that wasn't the case, then you went to heaven and you still had the old nature. Therefore, you would find out you would be sorrowful for your parents, for your friends, your relatives, and so forth. But in heaven, there's not going to be any sorrow. There's not going to be any sin. There's not going to be any sickness. There's not going to be any of that. You are freed. When you leave this body, you have left behind anything connected with this earth originally, from the time Adam was here until the time you're born, and so forth like that. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, and live with Him in happiness, and it's unbelievable. And the earth will seem like a thing of the past to you, because He's going to create new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. No sin, no sorrow, no remorse, no anything. Perfect peace. We got a lot to look forward to. Now, you've got our books that I know who holds tomorrow. That's what we're talking about. Because you have a right to know, and God has put in His Word what is on the agenda on down the line until this earth is completely renovated and new heavens and new earth is created there. And thank God you're a Christian. If you're not, let's bow a word of prayer, and you can trust Jesus Christ. You're watching. You can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. The only reason we have to bow your head is for your own privacy. You know. So, anyway, if you've never trusted Christ, just tell Him you believe, and you are so thankful that He loved you and paid for your sins so you don't have to go to hell. And that's something you ought to be so grateful for, that God loved you, and He did. Dear Father, we're grateful to You. Thank You that You put things in the Bible that we can read, we can understand. And thank You that if we don't know it, there is no way we can pick out false teachers. There is absolutely no way, because they are so slick, they are so cunning, so devious, and all the other synonyms, some worse than what I've used. And these are men that have disguised themselves into being, oh, we're just so smart, and we'll tell you about how God created the earth, and so forth. Yeah, You surely will if You lied to us. And we thank You, dear Lord, that we have that. Thank You for our church. We appreciate it. I thank You for the folks You've given us. They are just wonderful. And we just ask Your blessing in this coming week on each and every one of us, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.